Also, just want to let you know, we will have a carry-in dinner here just in a few minutes, right outside here, so there's no hurry to get out. If I hear your bellies rumble, I'll know it's time. But it's all set out here. If you didn't bring anything, it's all welcome for you anyway, so we hope that you will stay in fellowship with that, partake of that. So that would be good as well. We do have some visitors here today from Illinois, from Peoria, Illinois, so not over here. So we have them, and they're kind of checking us out here to see if we are maybe one of their people, one of the group people, one of the churches that they will come and visit over the summer and to do some mission work. Is that correct, Nathan? Yes. All right. So they come all the way over from Peoria. So they will be eating with us today. So make sure that you make them feel welcome. And then I'll give them a tour of our facilities. And of course, they will eat with us. And then they will head on back home. So pray for them. So there's five of them today. So they have a newborn over there. And her name is Joanna. So when I saw her, I thought of my granddaughter immediately. But there are some good people. And hopefully you get to get over there and meet with them. Or they meet with them and eat with them today. So I do want to share with you today, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew for a few minutes. We're just going to spend a few moments here. And I do appreciate you guys speaking about what Jesus means to you. When we get to hear people testify that way, it is very powerful. And we get to hear people's hearts and parts of their lives. The problem with it is sometimes is when you get someone to do that, then we ask them again to do something else. And then we ask them to do something else as well. So, as I've been saying lately, our world's kind of in a mess. And there's no leader that's going to get us out. Okay, there's no leader because whoever that leader is, he's a flawed man or a flawed woman anyway. There's only one way to get it right, and that's to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. First, personally, you need to work on yourself, you need to work on your family, you need to work on your community, you need to work with your state, you work with the country. We have missionaries all over the world, and yet we still can't get it right. But you know what? We're going to keep trying. And as bad as hard as the church gets sometimes as the church sometimes looks like it's committing adultery all over, Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail, but Jesus will build his church. So God has got this under control. Okay, so God's got this under control. But I want to tell you that this world was messed up when Jesus came. And it's still messed up, but there's a difference between before he came and now that after he came, there are people trying to get it right. When Jesus came, Satan did not want man to know and understand what this true gift was that was coming. He did not want those people of that time to get it, did not want them to understand it, did not want them to grasp it or to take it. When Jesus came, it tilted the axis on the world. It changed the universe when he came. And it is amazing to me that he came as a baby and not as someone that walked up on off the sea and onto the shore and just began to do ministry. But God was patient. God gave a story. As God does miraculous and miracles, there are some people that just can't believe it because it was a virgin birth. But there were some wise men who came. And they wanted to worship this Jesus. And they came through some country and they came to a man named Herod who was a king. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then Herod went, and he had secretly called the wise men and determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.'" Now the wise men didn't know that, really, and you call them wise men, but they were wise men, but they did not know that Herod really wanted to not worship them, but Herod wanted to take care of some personal business, because any king that's in charge never wants another uprising king, because it affects and threatens his throne. But what we see here is we see a piece that comes in to see how dark this world really is. You see, I want to share with you a couple of things today about this gift of hope, this gift of salvation, this gift of Jesus Christ. First, I want to tell you that the value of Jesus is priceless. It's the most expensive gift known to man. It's the most expensive gift in the whole universe. It is a very expensive gift. It cost a lot for this to happen. First of all, there was one that was a part of heaven, and now he's going to leave heaven. He's going to leave heaven, and he's going to come down here on this filthy, sinful, dirty world. I wonder what the angels were thinking. Not God, but the angels. Wonder what they were thinking when Jesus was coming. It astonishes them. But this gift was very expensive. Let me read something here. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he found out and he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts for 2 years of age and younger and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So 2 years out, he gives a decree and an order that all the baby boys that are 2 years of age and down are going to be put to death. I'm telling you, this gift of Jesus is very expensive. There's a lot of mothers and fathers who have lost a child to this. Listen, I know that Bible, sometimes in people's teaching, Stephen was not the first martyr. It was these baby boys. A martyr is someone that dies for Christ. It was not Stephen the deacon, it was these boys. These boys died for this gift to come. And darkness is trying to put out the light immediately. In fact, we know that when that happens, the angel comes to Joseph and says, you got to go. And they flee over to Egypt for a while and gave him gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Gave him gold, though, why? Because God already knew that he was going to send them over to Egypt, and they needed money to go to Egypt. They needed to travel. God's taking care of business. This gift was trying to be taken away from you and I. It's a very costly gift. In fact, we know that Jesus died upon the cross. That's what we celebrate, the death, burial, and the awesome resurrection during Easter, the Easter season. But we are in the Christmas season, so we'll talk about the gift. But it is very expensive. It is very expensive. It was so expensive that the only one that could do it was God. The only one that could purchase, the only one that could take care of it was God. And he did it out of his love, as we see in John 3:16. It was, for God so loved the world. So his love is tremendously high and huge. It's so big that he was allowing his son to come, to die for us, to be born and die for us, that we might have this gift of salvation. But with this gift, I want to tell you that although it is a highly valued piece, it is a free gift to all of us. I do not have to purchase it. I didn't have to pay for it. I did not have to do anything except take the gift that Jesus was handing to me. So I took it freely. It is a free gift. We want to add things to it by things that you have to do. We want to add trinkets and all kinds of things to the gift so we feel like we have to do something to really receive it. The only thing we have to do to receive it is to reach out and take it. Amen?
That's right.
I took it when I was 12. How about you? But I know this, that I've not always kept it the way that I should. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I also want to tell you, although it's free, okay, although it is free, and it was very, very costly, it is the most valuable thing in the world. It's the most valuable thing that I have inside of me. That is a part of my life. Nothing trumps it because it is eternal. It is an eternal gift. It lasts forever and ever. And it's a gift that we take at times, we take it for granted. And we have to remember that this gift is offered to all. Romans tells us that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, but also it says in Philippians, it says we need to work out our own salvation. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We cannot take this gift lightly. We need to take this gift that we have, because we get into this part where our churches have become not a church so much, but more on a country club style, more of a place where we just fellowship. Or a church becomes to a place where people want to meet. A male wants to meet a female. There's a lot of that going on in churches today. Or we just have sports. We just have those things. But Jesus is beginning pushed aside more and more and more. Listen, it was good for us to hear this morning what Jesus means to me, because people begin to speak about Jesus. The more you speak about Jesus, the more we're going to have problems with our sound system. Because the dark side does not want Jesus' name lifted up. And nobody's going to lift it up except for those who are called by His name. Those who have a relationship with Him. If you do not lift up His name is not being lifted up where it needs to be lifted up, because Jesus says you are the light of the world. And we have that gift. I have that gift. You have that gift. But I also need to be responsible with the gift. And I need to work out my own salvation. Doesn't mean I'm working for my salvation, but the salvation is working through me. I can't be the same Christian this year as I was last year. I need to be a stronger Christian this year than I was last year. I need to be growing in my walk with Jesus more this year than I was last year. I need to be working and serving better with more heart, more love and care and compassion for others this year than I did last year. So this coming up year, when we get into 2018, I need to be better in 2018 than I was this year. And what does that show? It shows I'm working out biblically my salvation. I'm working it out. I'm becoming what God has called me to become. And God's called you to do certain things, and He wants you to do what He has called you to do. He has a purpose for you. He has things that He has for you. There's an agenda in your life. And when you control your agenda, it don't work so well. Ask some people. People continue to tell me life's not working, it's not going well for me. I know right there, most of the time, they're in control. God is not. We don't do very good leading our life. We're not as smart as we think that we are. We can have all the education in the world, but it will not get you into heaven. You can have all the education in the world, even biblically. And even if you are saved, if you're not putting those words to action, you're not being what God's called you to be. Jesus spent more of His time in ministry outside the temple than He did inside. He did more of, I believe He did more of His miracles. I would say most of His miracles were in front of unbelievers. Or maybe most of His miracles were done not in the temple. There were several in the sanctuary. But a lot of those were done out in the back roads, in the back alleys, and the highways, and out in the fields, and in the deserts. But churches today want it all with a showboat and $200,000 worth of lights and sound. That's not working out your salvation. Working out your salvation is putting God first. Seeking God. Wrestling with things maybe God has called you to. You don't quit, you maybe not go forward, but it's okay to wrestle from time to time. But I want to tell you, the gift that you have, if you understand its value, you understand its cost, you understand its power, you will not be the same person you were in the past, but now that you will be stronger than you were. I'm telling you, people died for this gift. Jesus died for this gift, but there were other people alongside that are even dying today to share the gift to those who don't have it. It says in verse 17, after those babies were put to death, it says, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah in lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. There was a people, there was a group of people in Bethlehem and in the districts around her that were weeping. This gift had come, but there was a weeping on it because the cost of this gift to plow into this world, to land into this world, for this gift to land in this world, all these baby boys were put to death. I want to tell you something. God knows that. He knew that was going to happen. It was put in prophecy with the man prophet Jeremiah. But the gift was needed so bad that there was going to be a cost. Not just with Jesus' life, but other people's lives. And today there are people dying in Africa and other places because of the gospel of sharing it. It's sharing the gospel to a dark world and a sinful world. The dark side is still trying to snuff out and trying to put out the fire of the gospel. But praise be to God that they can try all they want, but Jesus will build his church. Here's the problem. We in America have gotten so used to being members of churches. We've gotten so used to budgets, meetings, committees, that we can't even make a lot of churches can't even make a decision on faith. It's always got to be on the dollar amount. It can't make a decision without six other people agreeing with it. We have a problem in our churches today that we've lost our focus on what the focus is supposed to be about. And the focus now is becoming upon some of those things that are not really part of the church. So anymore when I drive around, I'm not being critical, but just because I see a steeple and a cross doesn't mean that it's a Bible-believing, preaching, gospel-preaching, teaching church. I wish they all were, but they're not. I wonder what the scriptures doesn't give us this, but I've always wondered what Joseph and Mary thought when they were fleeing to Egypt. The value of what they were carrying, because they've heard all these boys being put to death. When you think about the song we sing, Born in Bethlehem, A Little Star of Bethlehem, we see the gift of Jesus. But we don't see the cost. I want to tell you, when you get out there in this world today, you get out there and you start sharing the gospel, you need to know what it costs. You need to know what it costs. You need to know what it's about. You need to know that it's just, okay, I come to this part where I admit, I believe, and I confess. We need to go to this part that it's a heart-wrenching piece. Our mind, body, and soul is affected by this thing. So I want to close with this for a minute. I want to close, and we're going to close, but I want you to think for a second. If I'm working out my salvation, what does that mean? Does that mean that I just come to church on Sundays and do my thing and fulfill the things, the requirements that I need to do because I got this ministry or that? No. Working out your salvation is when you can turn on the TV, and TV's not a bad thing, you can turn it on, but there's times when we need to pick up our Bible. There's times when we need to hear it. We need to be praying for other people. There are times when we need to be sharing some things that are up on our hearts and make a phone call to someone to share some of the pains and sorrows. We need to work out our salvation and work it out and start flexing that spiritual part of our life, because the world needs to hear the gospel. People need to know that when they come by New Life Fellowship, that is a Bible preaching, teaching, gospel sharing church. Not a social thing, but it is all about Jesus. Because if it ain't about Jesus, then I don't want to be here. I love you, but I don't want to be here if it's not about Jesus Christ. I don't want to be here if it's not about Him. I tried to do things without Him. It don't work. But when you let Jesus Christ be part of your life, I'm telling you, your life will be different. Your life will be different. You've heard today a few people say, what did Jesus mean to them? I'm going to have you stand for a moment. I'm going to make it short today. We're going to stand for a moment. I want you to think about that same piece. What does Jesus mean to you? And if Jesus is just a name, or if Jesus is just a name in a book, if you locked Him up in a box, then that's what He means to you. But I want you to look at me for a moment. And then we'll... Who was with you when you had a loss in your family? And the 11 o'clock hour, the midnight hour, the 2 o'clock in the morning when your friends and the church wasn't there. Who was there when somebody in your family was deathly ill? Who was there when you were facing, you knew when you got up in the morning you had to go to a funeral that you didn't want to go to because it was one of your loved ones, or you've done, had to walk through something in the morning at work that you didn't want to face, or something in the morning that was just a mountain that you couldn't handle? I want to tell you, Jesus, if you have a relationship with Him, first, He never left your side. He never left your side. Because no one knows about hurt more than Him. He knows what hurt feels like. He is so awesome and loving. God is so awesome and loving that He'll sit with you when you even doubt Him. He still sits with you. When you think He's not there, He's still sitting right next to you. When you think that He's not going to do anything, He's already got some things lined up, but He'll sit with you because He's patient. And the awesome part is, I can back that up because He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God makes a promise, He keeps it. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. If your heart is right with God, praise the Lord. Maybe you just need to praise Him. But if it's not, or you feel distant from the Lord, you don't have a relationship with Christ, that's also offered this morning. But if you have a relationship with Christ, it's not where it needs to be. There's only one place to get it right, and that's to get it right with Him. Amen. So when I walk out these doors today, I need to make sure my heart is right, my spirit is right with Him as I work out my salvation every day, daily. And I will tell you one thing this. People have told me this so many times. There's a sin in their life, but God's okay. He still loves me. I'm going to tell you, God can love. God will love you. But God knows how to discipline too. There's too many Christians running around with sin in their life and letting that sin take hold and controlling them.